Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the New York Giants' first ever town hall meeting presented by New York Presbyterian Hospital. Amazing things are happening here this evening. I'm Bob Papa, along with two-time Super Bowl champion David Dio. David, pretty exciting night. This is the evening where the fans, Giants fans, get a chance to hear a roundtable discussion. We'll hear from John Mara, Jerry Reese, Tom Coughlin, Eli Manning, Victor Cruz, John Beeson will all be here to talk about the football team. But you get a chance to come up and ask some questions. That's what this is all about, asking questions, getting information. The Giants just wrapped up their 90th season, one of the flagship franchises in the National Football League. 98 championships, four Super Bowls. What does it mean to you to be wearing those rings and be a part of such a wonderful tradition?
I mean, it means everything to me to be a part of the Giants organization for my entire career. You play for an organization that cares more about you off the field than just on the field. So to be a part of the Giants organization my entire career, that's something that is not normal in the NFL. And for me, it was something I always wanted to do because of my relationship with Wellington Mara, the Tisch family, the Giants. My loyalty to the New York Giants was there the entire time, and I never wanted to go anyplace else.
And we hope you, the Giants fans, feel that same connection, that feeling of family with the fan base and the organization. And really what it leads to is what the Giants are all about. Turn your attention to the video screens. It's Giants pride.
Growing up, you always knew about the Giants organization, and you just thought about this great tradition, great history, but really not until I became a Giant where you truly learn all those things are true. You get to learn about the Mara family, the Tisch family now. They're truly 100% committed to their organization and to having success.
The tradition here, I think you get goosebumps. It's like huge, huge shoes to fill, but that's what you want. You know, you want to be able to try to fill those shoes and obviously create your own legacy, carve out your own pair.
I think it provides this look of character, of integrity that you have to carry within yourself on a day-to-day basis.
It means that you embody a sense of pride putting on a Giants uniform.
To wear that giant blue, that's an honor and a privilege in itself. There's no doubt in my mind that this is the best organization in the NFL.
This is really the love of my life. Like, there's nothing else I'd rather be doing than this.
To be a Giant means to be at your very best all the time. And you believe in this team and this franchise and how it's been established, what it stands for.
When I think about Giants pride, you know, I think about loyalty. I think about integrity. I think about the greatest fan base. I think about someone who works hard and puts on a blue-collar hat every single day.
Families may change, eras may change, but the history and the passion for New York football Giants never changes. It'll always be here.
You know what I saw? New York Giant pride.
All right, so how does that make you feel when you realize that you're part of that history?
Yeah, I still get goosebumps. You laugh at me all the time when we do our radio show because I could be anywhere listening to the radio, and anytime I hear AC/DC Hell's Bells, I get goosebumps, I start sweating.
It's true.
It brings me back to getting lined up and getting ready to play in front of you guys. So to be able to come here to have a night like this, number one, it shows what the Giants mean and what they mean to you. And number two, this is all about you. The energy, the enthusiasm, the excitement that you bring each and every Sunday, we feed on it as players. And I still feed on it as what I'm doing now as a color analyst. So sincerely, from my bottom of my heart, thank you very much for everything you've done for me.
And you know, just one more thing. I know everybody has their tailgate routines and their rituals before they go to the game. But I know that you're also very passionate Giants fans. And if you haven't had an opportunity since MetLife Stadium is open and you want to just sort of soak in some of that Giants history, maybe one week and put the hot dog down and cut the tailgate short and go into MetLife Stadium and check out the Legacy Club, which is presented by New York Presbyterian, because that will be a walk through Giants history that you will love. Mr. Mara's desk is there and so many great artifacts that you'd have an opportunity to experience. So it's all part of that Giants pride. And I mentioned Mr. Mara. I mean, the Mara family, and the New York Football Giants have been not only pillars of the National Football League, but the New York sports community, as well as all of their charitable endeavors over the years. And with great pleasure, I'd like to introduce the team president and CEO, Mr. John Mara.
Thank you very much for that. Thank you. What a great turnout. And I just want to tell all of you how much this means to me, how much this means to our organization to see all of you here. I always laugh when I hear other teams talk about they have the greatest fans in the world. I mean, we know who the greatest fans in the world are. They're right here. They're right here. And not many teams can brag about what we can brag about. We have, I'm sure a lot of you are second generation, even third generation ticket holders. And yeah, and I can't tell you how much that means to me. It meant so much to my father, and it means so much to our entire family. And we really appreciate your support. I know we've disappointed you the last couple of years, but that's going to change this year.
Before we get into some questions for John from the audience, John, you're also very influential and do a lot of work on the competition committee, which is always trying to make the game better, make the game safer for the players, and make it more entertaining. Obviously, a little change here with the extra point and what they've decided to do, moving it back. Are there any other changes in works with this? And do you think that this is something that's going to be long-lasting?
You know, I'm not sure about how long it's going to last. One of the things we've been talking about for years now, the accuracy of field goal kickers has dramatically increased over the years. If you look back at the statistics from 1960, when they were barely making half of their field goals, and now, you know, we make like 90-something percent of them. So there's been a lot of discussion about narrowing the goalposts, and I know the kickers aren't going to like that very much, but I think we're going to continue to discuss that. But one of the things about the National Football League is before you make any change like that, it requires 24 of the 32 teams to vote for it. And there's always going to be some teams that are against it. So I'm not sure that I see that changing any time in the near future. Even the extra point, moving it back to the 15, that's a one-year-only deal. It's going to have to be voted on again next year.
John, can you, and David, I know you have a question. And also, if you want to start lining up, if you have questions for John, you can start queuing up now. John, I know a lot of times people will say, well, why don't they just do this? Why don't they do that? Which are pretty good ideas. But there's this thing called unintended consequences. Talk about how much you guys take that into consideration and how long it really takes for an idea to ever even get to the vote.
You know, it sometimes can take years because there's so much discussion that goes on. There's so much tape that we watch. And, you know, I tend to lean on, you know, the coaches that are on that committee, Jeff Fisher, Marvin Lewis, Mike Tomlin, guys who have been very successful in this league and have been doing this for a long time. So we always talk about if you're going to change this rule, what is the cause and what's the effect going to be on player health and safety? What are the unintended consequences? That's a discussion that we have over and over again. And, it, you know, no rule ever gets changed without there being a lot of tape watched by all of us and a lot of discussion. We take this very seriously. And you know what? I mean, we know that we have the greatest game in the world. I mean, there's nothing more exciting than NFL football. The TV ratings, the attendance records that we set year after year bear that out.
Now, I had the pleasure of having a great relationship with your father, Wellington. And, you know, one of the things that really struck me about him and about yourself, like John said, what you, the fans, mean to the Giants organization, how both your father and you respond to fan mail and write back. You know, what would you say was the best advice that you've gotten from your father?
That'd take me a long time to answer that one. But one of the things that I learned from him is, you know, he responded to every single letter he received from a fan. And he used to tell
me how important it was if people care enough to sit down and type out a
letter to you, you can at least give them a courtesy of a response. And I tell you, there are times where that's tough, particularly when the things are not going well during the season, because some of you write some pretty tough letters, I'll tell you that right now. But I try to answer all of them. I don't know if I, you know, I'm probably about at 98 or 99%. Some of them are you know, go over the line a little bit. But most of the time, you realize that, you know what, these people are just as upset as I am about how the season is going, and they deserve a response. And they're not always happy with my response, but I try to be as honest as I can with them.
John, before we get to questions from the season ticket holders that are here, this also marks the 25th anniversary of the 1990 Super Bowl champion Giants, the unlikely Super Bowl champion Giants, where they went out to San Francisco and ended the three-peat. Any special things in the works for this year as far as 1990 and kind of giving it that royal treatment?
We do. We have the 1990 team coming back to our game. And so I think it's the Atlanta game, right?
Mm-hmm.
To our game against Atlanta, and we'll do some special things on the field with them. I'm really looking forward to seeing those guys again. That was a great special team. I mean, you know, winning in Candlestick to spoil the three-peat and then flying to right to Tampa from there. That was just a very special team, very special memory.
Tough to believe it was 25 years ago.
No kidding.
It's not making me feel old.
All right. I'll tell you one quick funny story about that, though.
We fly back from San Francisco right into Tampa, and, you know, Bill Parcells was such a control freak. He had to know where everything was, and he was involved in every specific planning detail. And I can remember the bus going from the airport, pulling up in front of the hotel we were staying at, and right across the street from the hotel was shall we just call it a gentleman's club? And I can remember Lawrence Taylor leaning forward and saying, "Didn't think of everything, did you, Bill?"
My last question before we get to you guys and the fans out there, my last question to you is, you know, you've got one of the best jobs in the world to be the CEO and president of the New York Giants. Do you ever pinch yourself thinking that, wow, this is what I do?
All the time. I realize how lucky I am to be, you know, put in this position. And people ask me, people who aren't maybe familiar with our history, you know, how did you get to the position that you're in now? And I always say I made two very important decisions very early in my life. I picked the right parents, and I had the good sense to be born first.
All right, we're going to get some questions now from our fans here. Let's just state your name and fire away.
Ken Holland, my question is for John. John, with the suspension of Tom Brady for the first four games, that will include the Dallas game. That creates an unfair advantage for those teams who have to play the Patriots with Brady versus who don't. Has there been any discussion as to maybe playing or suspending Brady for four games against the AFC East rather than the current first four games?
I was hoping they'd go nine games, to tell you the truth. But no, there hasn't been any discussion about that. I mean, that appeal will be heard, and I don't know what the commissioner will do with it. And I don't think you can really take that into consideration. That's just the way the chips fall, I think.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hello. Mark Goldberg, Marlboro, New Jersey. Was any consideration given to signing the offensive tackle Collins out of, I think, LSU?
There was consideration, I think, by 32 teams to trying to sign him, but Dallas somehow got it done, and I'm not going to comment on how they got it done, but they somehow found a way to get it done without the rest of us knowing about it.
All right. Just tell Coach Conklin I was here early today, okay?
Okay, good. He'll be here. He's listening. He's making notes. Next question.
Hi, Mike Fleming. Quick question for you, Mr. Mayor. It's about the stadium. I know we have to share it with that other far less successful franchise.
I did my part on Christmas Eve of 11 trying to rip down and showing our trophy. So I did my part to help that out.
My question is about how gray and bland it looks from the outside. And even on game day, is there anything we could do to big blue it up a little?
Let's just say you're preaching to the choir here, because I agree with you. And we've had discussions, and we're going to continue to have discussions about how to do that. But you know, that was kind of an issue with our friends, and but you know, and listen, we have a great partnership with them. I agree with you. We do need to do something to add a little more color to it. We're going to continue to look at ways to do that.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Lorraine from Nutley, New Jersey.
I know where Nutley is, Lorraine. Okay.
I'm reading a book about your family, but my question is, you got any idea of putting a tribute to your mother in the Legacy Club. I think she deserves it.
Thank you. I think she deserves it too, and I can hear her saying right now, you know, she's right. You better do something. But I appreciate that. Thank you, Lorraine.
I'm Scott from Northern New Jersey. Bob, I'm going to be positive here with Mr. Marowit for Reese and Coughlin. So since your whole life has been with the Giants, would you tell us your top five best Giants of all time?
You're gonna get me in trouble doing that.
You can do it. You can do it. It's all Giant fans.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty. I know I'm gonna leave somebody out, but for me as a kid, Frank Gifford was my hero. You know, that's who I grew up admiring, and you know, Rosie Brown.
Wow.
And then as I'm getting a little older, Spider Lockhart was I was close to him, and you know, I mean, Lawrence Taylor, obviously, Phil Sims, but. You know what? I like the guys we got on this current team too. Number 10 has won us a couple of Super Bowls.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sir?
Hello, Mr. Mara. John, Jason Perel from Manalapan. A question about the area around the stadium. What is your vision for the future around the area? In my opinion, I envy what Seattle is going on with the downtown stadium with, you know, the younger kids, and there's not going to be as many cars and tailgating. Like, thinking about the future of, you know, there's area, the racetrack, what potentially other areas to develop for game day around the stadium?
I mean, the tailgating is so important to us because we realize that that's an important part of the culture.
Yeah.
And we're always going to preserve that, and I'll fight to the death on that. And that's a discussion that we've had many times in the past. You know, there's talk about a casino going in there. We're not exactly crazy about that idea.
Yeah, I'm not thrilled about that.
Yeah, I agree with you. Believe me. And, you know, that mall is being developed.
That's
and, you know, we negotiated for years to try to get an agreement on restricting the number of parking spaces they can have and having a carefully managed traffic plan, which we think is going to work, but time will tell. But believe me, I'm not going to do anything to cut down on the tailgating because I realize how important that is.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
All right, we have time for about two or three more questions for Mr. Mara. Go ahead.
Kevin Buckle from Greenbrook, New Jersey. And it's not a question, Mr. Mara. It's just a comment of thanks. Wearing the Giant colors is about pride. You go to other cities. And from your father to yourself to God bless your mother, of course, through your generation, my father, Yankee Stadium, I was 9 years old. I was crying, Miracle to Meadowlands in Section 140, Row 14, old Giant Stadium.
I shed a few tears that day, too.
I cried. I told my father not to burn the tickets because people were burning tickets back then. To my daughter sitting back there, 11 years old. So three generations, Giants means class. I just want to say thank you.
I appreciate that very much. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right, our last two questions, gentlemen here on our right.
Hi, Mr. Mara. My name is Ari. I'm a huge fan, obviously. My family and I, we've had season tickets since 1958. I'm a friend of Tom Steinberg's and Maor Israel organization. And I just, it's such a great opportunity to ask you a question. I just want to say thank you for the opportunity. What do you think about, like, the latest disciplinary measures that Roger Goodell has taken? Some of the players, like, I want to ask specifically about, like, the Ray Rice situation, but more broadly about players that have kind of fit that group.
You know, it's almost like he's in a no-win situation at this point. I mean, the Ray Rice thing, by his own admission, was mishandled in the beginning, and then he tried to right the ship on that and, you know, got criticized even more for it. But, you know, we've implemented now a new personal conduct policy, which has a lot of teeth in it, and I think that we're going to be a much better league going forward because of it. You know, the Deflategate thing, you know, I read the report. I read it very, very carefully, and, you know, I happen to agree with what he did on that. And I hesitate to say that because I have a good relationship with Bill Belichick and with Robert Kraft. I admire Tom Brady, but, you know, they had to pay the price, and I think he did the right thing. And, you know, that's the one thing that is so misunderstood about this commissioner, is he tries to do the right thing. It doesn't always come out that way, and people always criticize him, but he's trying to do the right thing, and I think he has done it. And I think with this new policy that we have in effect, I think you'll see us be a much, much improved league going forward in dealing with issues like that.
Yeah, thank you. I hope so. Appreciate
thank
it.
You. And our final question.
Mr. Marrow, I'm a longtime second-generation season ticket holder, and my father started in the Polo Grounds. As a season ticket holder, I think the long-term fans kind of got penalized when you moved to the new stadium, because we were 50-yard line season ticket holders, and now I'm in the end zone. How was that taken into consideration? Because I know the Jets went from seniority to pick the seats, as opposed to my seats who were given to the $500 club tickets.
Yeah, that's not, I mean, in terms of what they did, that's not quite accurate. But I hear you on that. And let me tell you that without question, the day that I die, I'll realize that was the most painful decision that we ever had to make. But I don't know how else we could have done it and financed the building. The goal that we had right from the beginning is whatever we do, we have to find a place in the building to meet every seat, every need, every budget. People might lose, you know, yard line positions and stuff, but let's at least find a place in the building, so because we want to keep people coming to our games. And it broke my heart to get letters from people saying, you know what, I can't afford it anymore. I can't tell you how many phone calls I made to fans, and I would ask them, what can you afford? We'll find the best possible location for you. And I was very proud of the fact that about 91%, I think it was 91% of all the Giants Stadium season ticket holders moved into MetLife Stadium. Yes, a lot of them, like you, moved to locations that they're not quite as happy with. But again, we had to finance the building, and that was the only way to do it. And believe me, I hear you. And, you know, the reason we have events like this is because, you know, I saw in some of the surveys that we do, and believe me, we read what you write in those things. Some of you gave us the impression, you know, a couple of years ago that, you know what, we're not listening to the fans. We're not taking your needs and desires into consideration. You know, all we are is people who pay the bills. And so we're trying to do events like this to show you that you do mean something to us. You do matter to us. It's a lot more than just sending your check in and going to the games. I mean, when you tell me that you're a second generation ticket holder and the gentleman before you, third generation, I mean, that means a lot to me. And we try to do the best we can to accommodate everybody. Inevitably, some people are going to end up unhappy. And believe me, I am sorry about that. But you know, we are very happy with the building that we built. We're happy with the teams that we've, up until the last 2 years, the teams that we put in that building. And listen, nobody wants to win more than I do, and nobody is more committed to putting the best possible product on the field than I am. And I appreciate your support, and God willing, you'll continue to come to the games with your family for many years to come. Thank you all very much. I appreciate you being here.
John, thank you so much. Mr. John Mara. Thank you, John. Just want to remind you, Giants head coach Tom Coughlin, Jerry Reese will be next. And listen, the lifeline for the Giants is the draft, so let's take a look at the 2015 draft.
Get ourselves ready to go. Here we go.
Look at the 2015 draft class. David, you were a fifth-round pick in 2003, so you were no sure bet to make the team. What would be your message to those young men trying to make their mark with the 2015 Giants?
I would give them the same message that I gave to Eric Flowers the minute that I met him. get yourself around a veteran and learn the ropes of what it takes to be a professional. This is the National Football League. This is a lot different than college, where your complete structure and your daily schedule was mapped out for you, from weight training in the morning to class to practice to study hall. When you get to the NFL, you may be in the building from 7 a.m. till 4 o'clock in the afternoon, but when you leave that building, it's on you to be responsible, to watch film, to know your playbook, to know all those things inside out. So when you get on the football field, you're not second-guessing yourself, because the last thing you want to do as a rookie is use that as an excuse, because you've got everybody else on the team that are looking at you and dependent on you to do your job. That's what football's all about, is accountability.
All right. Not only do the Giants always look to their draft, but then you dip into a little free agency as well in the offseason. Let's take a look. Look at some of the new additions for the 2015 New York Football Giants. To talk about it a little bit more, we welcome the Senior Vice President and General Manager of the New York Giants, Mr. Jerry Reese, architect of two Super Bowl champions, and the head coach of the New York Football Giants and two-time Super Bowl champions, Mr. Tom Coughlin. Coach?
Good evening. Good evening.
Everybody's all fired up. They're ready. They're ready for the season. OTAs and veteran minicamp coming up. Jerry, we saw the draft and the players that you guys brought in and some of the work that you did in free agency. Does free agency dictate how the draft board goes for you, or are they kind of different things in your mind's eye?
The money dictates everything. Well, you know, in the off season, we look at our roster, Coach Coughlin and I and all of our coaching staff and all our personnel staff, we look at our roster and try to see, you know, where do we need some help at? And, you know, sometimes you can go out in free agency and fix some spots in free agency, but we really like to fix our team through the draft because you can't buy players every year. You have to develop players. So it's a combination of both things.
Coach, obviously every year you have a group of new young men that come in, and they have to learn Coach Coughlin's way, the Giants' way. What are some of the challenges when you bring young men into a program, trying to get them up to speed as quickly as possible, because the time is now short with the new rules that exist with the CBA?
Well, the obvious is that the young drafted players come in and the veteran players are already there. And we've had a chance to have meetings with our veteran players for a couple of weeks before the rookies get there. So they're in a catch-up mode right away. And then when we work on the field, phase two is a you can't even have anybody stand across from you. So you're working against air, and you're doing a lot of visualization, but you're trying like heck to know your assignments, which is not easy. They have a whole new language to learn. It's a foreign language to many of them. But the challenges are to bring them up to speed as fast as they can so that now in phase three and eventually in the mini camp, that we can really see what they're capable of doing and project how we would utilize their talents and abilities.
All right, everybody can start, if you'd like to start lining up for questions for Jerry and Coach Coughlin. David, I know you've got a couple here as well.
Jerry, the draft is over, and I think every fan is passionate about the draft. And you just talked about building the team through the draft and through young players. Mm-hmm. We drafted Eric Flowers, an offensive tackle, with the first-round pick. Give us a little scouting 101. What do you look for in an offensive tackle, and what were the things that stood out to you about Eric?
Well, Coach Coughlin liked big guys, and, you know, Eric is a gigantic man. You know, he's 6'6", 330 pounds, so he likes big people, and we try to provide that for him. You know, when you look at an offensive tackle, you want a guy with good feet like you had, David, and you want a guy with long arms. If a guy has long arms, that can, you know, that can help his feet out sometimes. When your feet can't get there, your arms can help you out. So you like a combination of all that. You like strength. You like smart guys. You like tough guys. You know, an offensive line, we really, in the New York Giants, we've always had tough offensive linemen, and that's kind of what we look for.
Hey, Coach Coughlin, you know, I just had a debate about a week ago about coaching, and somebody said, well, you can't coach football without manipulating players. With you, I knew good, bad, and different where I stood each and every day. Just talk about being honest with players and what it means to those players.
Well, what the whole business is, if you're going to succeed in this profession, you've got to respect the players, and the players have got to respect you. The players, there's a degree of trust that goes along with that. And what you have to do is you have to inform, be very, very clear about what your expectations are, and then you have to back it up in reinforcement, reinforce it so that the player knows that it's the act that you, if you are criticizing, it's the act, it's not the individual. And you have everything invested in making that guy the best player he can possibly be.
All right, we're going to open it up to the season ticket holders who are lining up with questions for Jerry Reese and Coach Coughlin. We're going to start with the young man here to our right.
My name is Dinaj. I only want to know, is Victor Cruz coming back?
Well, you should also save that question because Victor's going to be coming out here.
Just hang in there, buddy.
Victor's going to be out here in a little bit. You can ask him yourself.
Yeah.
Great stuff. Thank you.
Victor will be out here.
Next question.
Hello, Coach. Mr. Reese, Sal Fader, also known as Sal from Yonkers as well. Let me just say, Coach, I want to tell you this. There's a guy that I would like to thank, and I can assure everybody behind me is along with me, and I'd like to thank your son-in-law, Chris Snee, for the job that he's done.
I'd like to thank him, too.
My question is to both of you, because you can answer this, and that is, with the modern technology the way it is, with all these computers and the like cell phones and stuff, and I know, Coach, you don't like cell phones too much, can you tell me how do you use it in your job responsibilities as coaching and as general manager of the New York Giants?
Well, I'm not sure if I can answer your question with respect to cell phones, but we have a lot of sports science components that we've added to the New York Giants organization. We got five or six new sports science components that we've added, and what we're trying to do, you know, we're trying to use science to help us figure out, you know, because we've had the injury bug, and we're trying to get away from that, and we're using some sports science initiatives and components to try to figure that thing out, and so we can stay healthy and win more games.
And Coach, go ahead.
It's a computer world, there's no doubt about it. And what has happened and what's transpired in our business is that you have a unique ability, literally, to put together any combination of study tape you would like about the opponent. You do so not only with video, but with the written word as well. And this information can be compiled in a very, very short amount of time, which gives you an advantage from the old days when we used to take things off by hand and do most of our work by hand. The unfortunate part about it is there is a massive amount of information, and you have to be very, very smart and clever based on your knowledge of the opponent as to exactly what you want to look at and how you want to weigh that.
Sal, thank you very much. Next question.
Yes, Coach. Mike Travers from Nutley, New Jersey. I go all the way back to the Yale Bowl days, so that's, you know, quite some time. And I know on every given day you've got 80,000 assistant coaches up in the stands, and we all appreciate everything you've done. This year I'm reading a lot about the offense and the defense, but my question, you know, tonight to you is, how are we looking on special teams? Because that, to me, is so, so important about position and winning.
I know that you have observed some of the people that we brought into the program. You just watch them on tape. I was walking around the field the other day observing the same thing, making a list out, to be honest with you, of guys that I felt would make a strong contribution on special teams. And I spoke to Jerry about that immediately following the practice. I will say one thing. At the returner, at the gunner position with Dwayne Harris, we do expect to be a team to be reckoned with kickoff return, punt return. He's also an outstanding gunner, and he also covers kickoffs, and he's a tough guy. We've played against him. I like the idea of having played against people and having felt the impact of the quality of their ability, and then when the opportunity comes, they bring that ability to the New York Giants. So we do have some, we have some linebackers that can run. We've brought some people here to provide us with that advantage, and we all agree with you that it is as vitally important as any other aspect of the game is special teams.
And with anything that Coach Coughlin says, he practices what he preaches. Because if you think back and look back to 2010, who was the best special teams player on the New York Giants? Jason Pierre-Paul should have been a Pro Bowler for his contribution on the kickoff teams because he was unstoppable. So Coach Coughlin, when he says that, he's got his little red pen out there walking around taking notes because that's what he surely believes.
Well, that holds up when you talk about, you know, we've always had a big defensive lineman that's covered kickoffs. Justin Tuck did it. Jason Pierre-Paul did
OC it. OC did it. OC Umiore.
OC yeah. did it.
Thank you, Coach, and good luck.
Thank you.
Next question.
Hi, my name is Michael Godinez. I'm 13 years old. My grandpa's been going to the games since Polo Grounds. And I just have a quick question. When you're choosing a draft pick, how does management and coaching staff interact with each other?
Well, the draft, our scouts go out. Our scouts do the legwork. They're really the unsung heroes of what we do in personnel, you know, or the football team, you know. We did that Finding Giants show, and I talked to the people about, you know, when we win Super Bowls, you never really see the scouts go up on the stage and hold up the trophy like that, but they're really the guys that go out and really do the legwork and find the players for us. But it's a combination of everything. When we put our draft board up, our coaches are involved. You know, obviously, we talk to our owners. You know, Mr. Mara is not going out, you know, scouting guys, but he's in the loop. He sits in the meetings. So it's a combination of all of us. We try to put our heads together and come to a consensus on what we want to do and the players we have targeted, and we try to work it like that.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Next question.
Bill Bergner, Woodridge, New Jersey. Sorry, Mr. Reese. The question is for Coach Coughlin.
No worries.
Coach, before my question, I want to thank you for being a great person on and off the field. I myself am a firefighter, and I love what you do for us and all our armed forces, so thank you very much.
Thank you and for what you do for us.
Thank you. And it's really not a question. It's an invitation. I'd like you to stay at least another 5 to 10 years, if that's possible.
Thanks, guys.
Mr. Mara just left. You'll have to get him back in here.
I'll send him a long letter, I promise.
Thank you. Next question.
Hi, Richie Lee from Mawa. There was a question before about using sports science. Is the team doing anything out of the box in terms of trying to mitigate injuries? Because it just rips our heart out when you know, Beatty, you know, ripping his shoulder out. I mean, it's got to be frustrating for you, but is the team doing anything kind of out of the ordinary to try to mitigate?
Yeah, we have four or five new components with respect to sports science, and we have the GPS system. We monitor guys, everything they do. And injuries are just part of football. You go in the weight room and you're benching, you know, 350 pounds. You know, sometimes it doesn't go up like you want it to go up, and, you know, there's some injuries that happen. That's just part of it. We try not to cry about injuries, but we are very cognizant of trying to fix that injury situation, and we're trying to do it with sports science.
Happens all across the league. I mean, 2 years ago, Terrell Suggs, off season. You know, I mean, you just probably didn't pay attention to it because you're Giants fans, and when it happens to a Giants player, it
happens all around the league.
Happens all over.
I would say this, too, so that you all know this. William Beatty was injured trying to get better. He was trying to be stronger. And as a result of that, he had an unfortunate injury, but he was trying to be the best he could be.
Next question.
Yes, my name is Matt Rakoff. I'm from Westchester County originally. I now live in the city, third-generation season ticket holder. First off, quick thank you to Jerry Reese for allowing an inside look at your scouting department, your staff, your whole process on the Finding Giants. I'm sure everyone that took the opportunity to watch that series gained a lot of insight. My question is, obviously, in the In the offseason every year, most of the focus and attention goes on some of the free agents brought in, draft picks from this year. But, of course, there's a lot of guys on the team that were either drafted in the last few years or rookie free agents that have now been in the system a couple of years. My question is, who are some of the names that may surprise some of us that we have very high hopes for in 2015?
Take a stab at that, Coach. Well, you know, Devin Kennard is a linebacker that we brought in last year. We think he's going to be a terrific player for us. He's a big, strong kid that we really like. You know, Jay Bromley is a defensive tackle that we like, young kid, a defensive tackle. We think will give us some depth inside in the defensive line. Corey Washington is a young receiver that we think has some ability. And we're going to get some of the old guys back. You know, we're going to get Victor Cruz back, and obviously – you know, the Odell Beckham. Odell's a young player. You know, like he, last year, you know, obviously had a tremendous season, but he's still a young player, and we expect him to get better and, you know, continue to grow and be a dynamic player for us. You have any guys that come to mind, Coach?
Well, there's a lot of guys right now that will catch your eye. The thing that I would like to do is let's get them in training camp, get the pads on, and see how that looks at that point in time.
Sounds good.
Next question.
My name is Ian Greenwald from Belmore, New York, and my question is, between minicamp and training camp, there always seems to be off-the-field issues throughout the league. Fortunately, you don't hear too many from the Giants. Is there anything particular you guys do at the end of minicamp to prevent those kinds of situations from breaking out?
Well, we definitely talk to them about – the first thing we talk about at that point in time is to be careful over the summer, because exactly what you said. There are issues that happen in the league. Players are injured. Players are, you know, life-threatening type injuries. So we try to make sure they understand that. Then we talk about the season and the excitement going forward. We have them in a strength program from the day that they leave until the day that they come back. We have coaches that call. And we just talk to them about being good people, good citizens, and being smart. Knowing that the NY never comes off.
Thank you.
Next question.
Hey, how you doing? I'm Joe from Harrington Park. Last year was my 307th Giant game in a row.
God bless you.
I've been coming since 77. I got it in me. But I have two things. One's for Jerry Reese, because my daughter texted me and said, tell Jerry Reese that the Spider Nation thanks him for appreciation and interest in our players from the University of Richmond. Okay, but my question's for Coach Coughlin. I've been going to a lot of Giant games, and every time at the end of the game, if we lose because of some, we didn't make that next down, how come we don't have a quarterback sneak? I got to ask that question because it drives me crazy. You got a guy 7 yards in the backfield. He turns around. He comes trotting up. We hand it to him. He goes up, and the defense is just waiting there. Hello. Eli Manning's a big boy. He can't get 4 inches or a foot.
So, before I let Coach answer this one.
And, Tom, I love you. You know, I really was not a Tom Coughlin fan back in the early 90s when they wanted to get you. You know, I'm truthful. I tell it like
that's
it is.
That's Jersey right
yeah.
there.
Yeah, right. And so, hey, I teach in River Edge, so you know what Bergen County's like. So the thing is, you've done a lot of good things for our team, and I'm really happy that we got you. So, you know, you got me, buddy. I'm your number one guy. But I want to know one thing. Why won't
full
you
circle.
Do it?
That's called full circle, right?
Yeah, I know. But that's why I'm on the negotiations team for my union. But the thing is, what I want to know is, why don't we have a quarterback sneak? I know he's a valuable guy, but he's a big boy, too. You know, well, he can get an inch.
I was going to say, before Coach Coughlin answers this question, we did have a quarterback who did quarterback sneaks.
Yeah, but
Jared Lorenzen averaged 4.5 yards per carry on a quarterback sneak.
Right.
But he also weighed more than every offensive lineman as well.
Do I have to answer that? I don't like it. I never have. I don't like. I remember back in college days when I had Doug Flutie, and there was no way I was sticking his neck up in the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, but he's 4'9".
Same thing with Eli. The shoulders, there's arms. Look at what Tampa Bay tried to do to us the other couple years ago. All thing we were trying to do is kneel on the ball. So if I felt like I could trust the guys across from us, I'd be okay with it, but I know I can't.
All right. We got time for one more question.
My name is Joe from Hoboken, New Jersey. Mr. Reese, what's the plan for the offensive line?
Well, the plan for the offensive line is we drafted, Eric Flowers in the first round, and we spent some draft picks on some high draft picks. You know, Pugh is in the offensive line. Coach plays him wherever he wants to play him. We do think we'll get Will Beatty back in the middle of November, or maybe even a little bit before that. So I think we have some depth in the offensive line. Obviously, the Will Beatty situation hurts us. We'll continue to look in the offseason. Everybody has around 90 players on their roster right now. You go to camp, after you make the cuts, there's 53 players. So there will be some veteran offensive linemen available at some point. But they're on rosters right now because the young players, a lot of young players around the league going to make the team. And some of the older guys, won't make the cut. And so we'll have some guys to pick from as we move forward and try to create some depth on our roster with respect to some veteran offensive linemen.
Thank you. Hey, we want to thank Jerry Reese and Coach Coughlin. Guys, great stuff. Round of applause.
All right, buddy.
Jerry, well done. Coach, way to go. They're looking to bring you another Super Bowl. Jerry Reese and Tom Coughlin. Hey, we still have more Q&A. Don't go anywhere. We're not done. Where are you going? We're in the New York Presbyterian
gave you the
Hospital
one minute.
Broadcast booth. Amazing things are happening here. David's going to be part of our broadcast team this year. With the Giants, doing some work with us on TV and on radio, so that's going to be a lot of fun. But now we're going to talk with the players, because we had that one fan that had the Victor Cruz question. So let's bring in, it's not often that you're a Super Bowl MVP, but then you get to do it twice. Please welcome the quarterback of the New York Football Giants, number 10, Eli Manning. You guys are all local. You're New York, Connecticut, Westchester, Manhattan, Long Island, Jersey. So it's really cool when one of your own makes it in the big time. From Paterson, New Jersey, number 80, Victor Cruz. Now, a lot of you are third-generation season ticket holders, so you know the importance of defense, going all the way back to the 50s with Sam Huff and then right on through to Lawrence Taylor and the chant of defense. So you know how important it is to have a linebacker that can go out and just tear it up. And 2 years ago, when Jerry Reese made that trade, suddenly the Giants' defense was ferocious once again. He's back. He's healthy. Please say hello to John Beeson. All right, gentlemen, so I'm going to ask everybody to start queuing up because we're going to have questions. But, Eli, off-season for you, year number two with offensive coordinator Ben McAdoo. Obviously, you made tremendous strides last year. How is this year different than last year?
You know, this year has been so much better. I just think, when we started the off-season last year, I was coming off an ankle surgery. I couldn't do any of the footwork drills that we were doing. I was trying to learn a new offense. I was in the same offense for 10 years. All of a sudden, new verbiage, new words. Everything's different, and I was swimming a little bit. And so this year, having a year into it, feel comfortable with everything. The offensive line, we're on the same page. We know our code words. We know our cadence. And so feel great about what we're doing. Our practices are going well, and I feel healthy. I feel, feel really comfortable in the offense. I love the offense. It's very quarterback friendly. And Omaha, we don't have Omaha anymore. We don't have Omaha. That's the only problem. The only problem with the offense, Omaha is not in the offense. I think I can actually finally tell you what Omaha meant. Are y'all? Y'all want that now or later?
Now.
Yeah, all right, Omaha. All right, so Omaha was in the playbook. It was actually, you know, there was a sheet that said Omaha at the top. And basically Omaha was, you know, maybe we changed the play. Maybe, you know, I was changing protection or deal, you know, had to tie a shoe or something. It was taking forever. And the play clock's running down. And Omaha just told everybody to put their hand on the ground, shut up, and the ball's about to be snapped. So I'm going to say Omaha. I'm going to say it again and say set hut and, you know, do whatever you think you need to be doing, and let's go play football. And there you go.
You know, the secret behind Omaha.
I think you hit on it a little bit when you were talking about that, but you were talking about changing your footwork and your fundamentals. You know, people were asking me, well, it's just like shifting sides on the offensive line. You've used the same exact footwork for your dropbacks up until last year. Just talk a little bit about the difference.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little – I kind of figured I had my five-step drop down when I was 17. I've been doing the same five-step drop, and then all of a sudden you hit 33 in your 11th year in the NFL, and they say, no, we're going to do it different now. And so they just, you know, it's little things like that, but it's something, it was so ingrained and something, it took a very long time to change and to just, you know, I didn't want to think about how do I drop back. It's something I've been doing for, you know, 18 years one way, and all of a sudden, no, you know, we got to change this, we're going to change stuff in the gun. So it was all the little things like that that was the hardest thing to learn. Learning new plays, that stuff, I like that stuff, and I like new plays and the schemes, that was easier to learn. The mechanical parts of matching up your drops to a certain play was very different for me. But now it all makes sense. It keeps things in rhythm. All my drops line up with the receiver. Victor, his route has to match my drop and my timing of my drop. And so it's all keeps everything on time and makes sense. And you know, I bought into it last year, and now I rely on it and trust it, and it's going to make us better.
Victor, you know, the whole cruise thing, these are the people that invented it. These are the season ticket holders.
How's
the rehab coming? I mean, give them a little update or on or close to schedule.
Rehab's going extremely well. I'm running well. Thank you. I'm running well. I'm running some routes again. I'm starting to feel like an athlete again, like a football player. I'm not just laying down on the table getting iced up and massaged and stuff like that. So I feel good. I'm running again, and I'll be doing some individual work next week during our veteran mini camp, and then we'll take it from there. But the key and the goal is definitely week one.
And I know I'm not the only one, and the fans have been seeing the hashtag. I know Eli, no Instagram or Twitter or any of that stuff hasn't. But you've been hashtagging the return, and it means much more than just that. What does the return mean to you?
The return means, I mean, you know, I've been playing football since I was 11 years old, and I've never taken a break. I've never had to miss time. I've never had to do anything. And I felt like starting the return was going to be an opportunity for me to kind of start fresh and have a new beginning and kind of retool my mind for essentially the second half of my career. It's my sixth year coming up, and it's time to kind of retool my mind frame to go to that next step. And I think I'm refreshed. The return, just hashtagging it and putting it into my mind, has given me a clear sight on what I want the rest of my career to be. And that's kind of what it's on top of just showing the fans cool videos and things that I'm doing, part of the rehab. It's also for myself to kind of get over that hump and onto the next portion of my career.
John, obviously you're new to the party, you know, having been acquired via trade 2 years ago, and then you were hurt last year. How is your progress coming, and what does it mean to you to be a New York Giant linebacker in that tradition of what this franchise and these fans stand for?
You know, for me personally, you know, coming here, it was like a dream come true. You know, it's... You know, when you talk about legacy, I think that's important. You know, guys who've done it before you, you obviously want to come behind them and leave your own legacy. So it was an opportunity to get with, you know, some champions over here, you know, and get me one of those, some hardware right there. So, you know, I'm happy to be here. Obviously, I was extremely disappointed getting injured, but it's a part of the game. You know, when you play the game, I think the way you're supposed to play it, it's only a matter of time before, you know, you get hurt. So, I'm feeling good. I'm running around. You know, Coach Coughlin and the crew are doing a great job of sort of, you know, keeping a leash on me. because I definitely want to be out there, you know, practicing and playing. But I feel great. If I had to play today, I'd be ready to go. And I'm just looking forward to a training camp.
With the return of Steve Spagnuolo, I, like the fans out there, are very excited about it. You hear a lot of people talking, well, how important are OTAs? How important is minicamp? But this is when you form your identity as a defense. What do people expect this year, 2015, from the Giants defense?
Well, first off, I think we can be as good as anybody. You know, we have a great leader in Coach Spags coming back. I've been a fan of his from afar. We're going to be very aggressive, detail-oriented. Everyone's going to have their role, and we won't be dictated to. We're not going to sit there and let, you know, Eli and company say, Omaha, Omaha. You know, actually, teams will be saying Omaha a lot because we're going to give them a lot of different looks, forcing people to do some things post-snap. So we're looking forward to it.
Good stuff. All right. We got the season ticket holders lined up, and we got a lot of people that have questions. So we're going to start to our right.
Eli Manning.
How you doing, pal?
In the whole NFL league, who do you not want to get tackled by?
I don't want to get tackled at all. I don't like getting hit. I want to wear a flag, you know, a flag football.
That red jersey at practice means don't touch Eli.
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. You know, I guess that answer for a while was always DeMarcus Ware from the Cowboys. He seemed to hit me the most, and probably because this guy. You know,
here it is. Here it is. I knew it would come. Shots fired at me. I knew it.
He's not in the division anymore, so we don't have to worry about him. But you know, it's not really the person who I'm worried about. I don't like getting hit when I don't see it. It's usually the backside, and that's like the one where you get kind of the whiplash and things go bad. So no, but I think we're fine. I'm gonna hang in there. Receivers, that's one thing I like about this new offense. The ball comes out very quickly, and it's my job to throw short passes, get it to Victor's hands, get it to Odell and Reuben Randall and Larry, get the ball in their hands. Let them get hit. Let them make, you know, get hit. I'm not going to lead them in the hits, but y'all can get tackled. Y'all can get tackled.
We'll take all the hits.
And
for
y'all, but you get the touchdowns. You know, make a guy miss, and I can throw it. I can throw it 3 yards, and you break it, and you go 90 yards, and I get 93 yards passing. I like that.
It works hand in hand. I'll take it.
Like the, you know, like the Jets in 2011. I throw a little 8-yard pass. You take it 91.
And the rest, they say, is history.
Then we go salsa dancing.
I'm going to say the S word up here.
Next question.
Eli Manning.
Hey, pal.
How do you come back in the Super Bowl?
How do we come back to the Super Bowl? Well, I don't know. You know, I think we practice, you know, and I think you're talking about in Super Bowl games that we've been in, and we've had fourth quarter comebacks, and we practice that all the time. We had a 2-minute drill yesterday, so full speed versus defense, and, you know, Coach Coughlin sets a situation. He said, all right, you need a field goal. You have one timeout. There's a minute and 22 seconds left. And, you know, he says, we got to get to the 18-yard line. That's what he feels is a safe field goal. And we go, and it's competitive. And yesterday the defense won. We got pretty close, but not quite close enough. There was a questionable call on the sideline where the receiver is in or out of bounds. You know, Larry Izzo was calling it. I don't know if we trust him as a referee, but, we practice a 2-minute drill a lot, and we feel confident in those situations. When I think, you know, Victor, when there's, you know, 2 minutes left in the game, and we happen to be down 3 points, we're excited about that situation. Hey, we're about to go win a football game. We're about to go out there and win the game, and we go out there, and whether it's the first game of the season or the last game and you're in the Super Bowl, we're ready for that moment and to go seize that opportunity.
That is one thing that I've always said to people when they've ever asked me, well, what is it about Eli Manning? There's 2 minutes left in the game, and he's our quarterback. We have a chance to win.
All right, this young fan came suited up. He's got the helmet on, too.
He's ready to go.
This is for Eli. What inspired you to play football?
You know, I growing up, I played all sports. I was a guy who's, I mean, even
did,
in
did you run track?
Well, sorry.
I was
that's
just
questionable
wondering.
Sport. Whether
I've,
that's really
seen,
a
he's
sport,
got some fast
switch. Know.
He's fast.
I don't know if that's question. You know, I don't
and
know
nobody
if that's a
wants
sport.
To see him in short shorts.
Yeah. I threw a javelin, I think, once. Is that, but I played, you know, sorry, I played football and baseball and basketball, and I love playing all the sports and whatever was in season. I played football. I enjoyed it. Growing up, I tried to play other positions. I was kind of like, you know what, I'm tired of playing quarterback. I'm gonna play receiver at recess with my kids, and you know, I was too slow to get open, and the other quarterbacks couldn't throw it very well. And so I said, this is boring. It's no fun. I don't get to do anything. It was quarterback. You got to have the ball in your hand every play, and you got to kind of decide, you know, who to throw it to, it was my favorite sport. I love playing it, and I love every aspect of it. I love lifting the weights for it, the preparation, the training, the everything that goes into the football, the team, the locker room. Those are special moments when you got that whole group of guys, offense, defense, everybody coming together. To get that win, and a lot of my best friends in the world are my teammates, my current teammates, my ex-teammates from high school, from flag football when I was in seventh grade to college. Those are the guys where you have that great bond, and I'm sure you get it in other sports, but football was always kind of the closest bond I had and made my closest friends.
I think people would like to hear from you two both. What inspired you guys to play football?
Yeah, because Victor, I know you were a pretty good basketball player too.
Yeah, so I mean, up until I could remember, I was about. Let me tell a story. So up until about 11, I mean, I played Little League football when I was 11 years old. I mean, I just played it because my dad was like, "You're playing football." I pretty much had no choice. I played. I did well. I got to high school and I was like, man, forget that. I'm going to play basketball. So I thought I was a basketball player for my freshman and sophomore year until my high school football coach, who's like second dad to me now, he looked at me and was like, you know, they give out double the scholarships for football than they do basketball, right? And I kind of looked in the mirror. I saw I was about 5'11 and 3/4. I'm 6'1 with cleats on though. Cleats on, 6'1.
Stilts
so
on, baby.
And I was like, I gotta play football. So I started playing football and you know, the rest is history, as they say.
How about you, John?
I would say my second sport's track. You know, I'm from Florida and that's why we're fast. We run down there. So I actually long jumped in college.
Long jumping, huh? Nice.
You know it.
You. All right, some more questions.
Hi, Eli, Victor, John. I'm Travis. I'm 13 years old. Diehard Giants fan.
All right, Travis.
So my question is really for all you guys. What are your goals for this year?
Super Bowl. I think that's everybody.
It's only that show.
Super Bowl.
There's only one goal.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right, Chad.
You notice they don't want to get caught actually saying it because in case it winds up on someone's Twitter page, so-and-so guaranteed the Super Bowl.
That's right. That's exactly what's going
to
happen.
I hate that, though, because if you get asked that question, what are you supposed to say?
Oh, yeah. I think we're going to finish third this year in the conference.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like the teams that are in the finals. Well, what do you think? Well, hopefully we at least get it to 7 games. next question.
Victor and else, I want to ask you, what was the most interesting thing you have done in football?
What's the most interesting thing that I've done? I can tell you the most interesting thing that I've done because of football. So the most interesting thing that I've done because of football is meet the President of the United States. I mean, it's not every day. I mean, you can go to the White House and take those tours and things like that, but it's not every day you get to actually meet the President of the United States and he knows your name and you can have a conversation with him and things like that. So, and none of that is possible without the sport of football and without the game of football. So that's definitely the most interesting thing that's happened to me.
Good question. All right, next question. Go ahead. On this side? Yeah, just take the mic from him.
My name's Rudy, and I'm wondering for Eli, when are you moving to Prospect Street? Because I'm looking forward to trick-or-treating at your house.
Whoa. Yes.
I'm in. I guess I'll tell you. I'm already there, so you're behind the ball. I've already had a few kids ring the doorbell already, and they didn't even say anything. They just looked at me and ran away. But I look forward to seeing you. You have to dress up though. All right, you got to dress up for Halloween. If you don't have a costume, no candy bar. All right.
Thank you.
All right, pal.
All right. Full size. Candy bars. Of course, you always go full size. Never fun size. Fun size or no fun. Next question.
Hi, Eli. With Cruz back and Odell Beckham coming off a great season, I was wondering how you plan to utilize these offensive weapons.
Question.
Look, you know, I think
let Paul Schwartz in.
Yeah, you know, the more weapons you have, the better off the team's going to be. And you know, we can throw the ball a lot, and we can get everybody a lot of catches and a lot of touchdowns. And so the great thing about having you know, receivers, especially like Victor and Odell, is that they can play all different positions. You can put Victor out wide. You can put Odell in the slot. You can put Victor in the slot. Odell out wide. You can put Victor in the backfield. You can have Odell in the slot and Victor in the backfield. We can have them both in the backfield. So, you know, that's something we can do a lot. Throw them routes, create mismatches, put them in different spots, and it's really going to be a matter of it's not always the player. You're not just saying, hey, here's a route we're throwing to this guy. A lot of it's based off the coverage. Who, you know, are they doubling team? Are they double teaming one guy? They're playing zone, but taking away, you know, trapping, you know, the slot. So we have one on one on the outsides. And so, you know, we'll be moving guys around in all different spots where it makes it easy for me, where I'm just saying, I'm just going to the guy that's single covered, or I'm going to the guy that has the best chance of being open and, you know, throwing Reuben Randall and Larry Donnell and Shane Vereen and all these guys. We have a lot of guys where you're just looking for the matchup. You know, like if we get Beeson one-on-one, I'm just going to Beeson,
not,
right? That period.
Not,
and,
I tell you what, I wouldn't want to play against our offense.
See, everybody's seeing the comedic side of Eli tonight as well.
But, no, we have a lot of weapons and we're going to use them. We're going to put them around and create matchups that we like in our favor and go score some points.
All right, next question, John.
How's it going? My name's Adam from Jersey. You're the man. What is it like playing for the Giants rather than the Panthers? John, sorry. Yeah, John, Mr. Beeson, yeah.
Just had to be clear. But you're from Jersey.
Yeah, Jersey. Yeah.
It was like spend a buck. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So how is it like playing for the Giants rather than the Panthers?
Well, I would say first off, it's a big stage. High expectations, you know, to win. Production-based business. It's just, it's first class. It's very different. I had, you know, some good times there, but I'm looking forward to the time that I have now.
Cool.
Thank you. Next question.
Hi, guys. My name's Megan, and I'm from Westwood. And I was just wondering, it's for currently Eli and Victor, but hopefully you too, John, this season. What's it like holding that Super Bowl trophy for you, Eli, twice? Victor, hopefully more than twice now. What's it like holding that trophy for the first time?
I mean, growing up, you watch every game, watch every Super Bowl. You watch those guys hoist the trophy and, you know, and kiss it and look at it and all that good stuff. It was a dream come true. I mean, I can't even put into words what that feeling felt like, especially individually with my journey and the things that I went through and, you know, being a hometown guy and all that good stuff. You just couldn't paint a better picture than that with me up there holding that trophy. And luckily, Eli decided to throw me the ball in the end zone. So I got to score a touchdown in that game as well. So that was good. But that feeling is second to none. I mean, I always tell people, aside from my daughter being born, that was probably the second best feeling.
You know, I think it's the best way to explain it is I think you have to think about right when you win a Super Bowl, what do? You just run around aimlessly looking for someone to hug. You know, and rarely do you ever get that opportunity or you ever have that feeling where you're like, just hug me, somebody. I'm going to run around and look for a hug.
And who did you hug?
I hugged Jeff Fiegels, our punter. Yeah.
He was the first guy you saw.
Hey, he was the first guy that popped up, you know? We're kind of both in the same position. All right, let's go. We got it. We made that eye contact. It was a moment. But, you know, it's just so kind of every phase. I mean, obviously, right when you win, you're so excited. Then, you know, you get to see the trophy, and you hold that, and it's just awesome. And then you get into the locker room after because it's chaos on the field, and you see all your teammates, and you see the coaches. And, you know, you're just high-fiving and laughing in great spirits, and you get to see your family afterwards, and they're celebrating with you. And then you see, you know, you kind of go to the after party. I had a bunch of my family and friends and ex-teammates. I had, like, you know, 20 of my old high school and college teammates that came up, and you know, they felt like they won a Super Bowl. I know they celebrated harder than I did that night, and they went deeper into the night. But it's just, you know, then you're fans, and you see fans, and you see videos of when, you know, David Tyree caught the catch or Plexico caught the catch or when Mod scored the touchdown. And, you know, you get to kind of hear the moments. You have the parade. You come to the parade, you know, so it's just each day, each, you know, kind of individual moment is so special because, you know, you see what it means not only for yourself but to everybody around you and especially the fans. That's what makes it so special.
One of the things that I would like for you to talk about, because this is a speech that I'll never forget, when you walked in front of the room before the Super Bowl and talked about, you know, going to see Peyton play in the Super Bowl and lose one, and, you know, go through that for a little bit, because I'm sure that they'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, you know, we had a, you know, it's a little different. You win the NFC Championship game, then you have 2 weeks before the Super Bowl. You prepare that first week in your hometown. We prepared at our stadium and at our facility. And then the next week you go to Indianapolis, or went to Indianapolis on Tuesday, and you have kind of your rest of your practices there. But it's a little different. You don't have your own facilities. You have to get on a bus and travel around. And so I just, you know, a couple years before, Peyton went to, his second Super Bowl and they lost. And I just kind of stood up, and, you know, everybody's talking about, you know, you're figuring out your tickets and transportation. I just said, hey, we start practice in 2 days. We get our work done this week right here in New York. This is where we did all our preparation. Have someone in your family handle tickets and handle fans. You know, we're going there for one reason. We're going there to win a football game. There's going to be parties around a Super Bowl and all this. You're not going to that. We don't go to that, because I promise you, once we win the game, you'll have the best party in New York City when we get back. And I said that. And I said, I asked some guys, we had a few guys, I said, you know, who's been to a Super Bowl and lost? And Antrell Roll, put up his hand, and Rocky Bernard, they put up his hand, a couple guys. And I said, I saw my brother after losing it. We're not losing it. That's not an option. We don't want to lose, you know, this game. We're going to win. So have your mind straight. The practice this week, we'll get to Indianapolis, you know, we'll enjoy yourself, you know, but we got to get our preparation done right now.
Great stuff. Question on this side.
Yeah, hi, question is for Eli. We football fans are superstitious, and last time someone asked us this question, preseason, we won the Super Bowl. So I'm going to ask you again, do you think you're an elite quarterback?
The answer hasn't changed, so hopefully we get the same result.
All right, next question.
Hi, I'm Jake, and I've been going to Giants games since I've been six, and well.
Good thing he didn't say the polo grounds.
Every game I've went to.
Is he seven now?
That Victor Cruz scored a touchdown, I saw the salsa. I'm wondering, after the injury, is the salsa going to keep up?
I think we need a demo.
The Macarena. Don't do that.
Touchdown only.
The salsa will live on.
Yes.
I felt like a rock star saying it.
Which one was your favorite salsa? Because I know you have one.
Well, there's two. I have two favorites. Obviously, the first one against Philly.
Philly. Yep.
That's because I didn't even had no idea I was even going to do it until I got in the end zone. And the Super Bowl one, obviously.
Nice. Next question.
The 99-yarder was that's 99-yarder. Honorable mention.
That's a pretty good one.
Hi, Jeremy from the Upper West Side. My question is for Eli. Eli, you're won two Super Bowls, two-time MVP. You're essentially achieved legendary status. You have the cachet to be as crazy, eccentric, off-the-wall, controversial as you'd want to be. We'd all would have to just accept it. But obviously, publicly, you're the complete opposite, very laid-back and private. So my two questions are, is that something that you consciously tried to sort of do even from the start of your career? And secondly, do you ever think about the unbelievable effect that you've had on the history of the Giants and the fans here and just think about in the New York sports legendary status?
I guess the first question, no, I mean, I just try to be myself. I'm not, you know, looking for attention or I try to, you know, work hard at my job and win games and conduct myself the right way. I like, you know, coming to these type of events where I can, you know, kind of have some fun and get to know the fans. I'm not thinking about, you know, any impact I've had on the Giants or legacy and that stuff. I'm worried about playing football and bringing another championship back to New York.
John, when you think about all this great offense that exists, and Eli obviously has put up all these points, and Victor can do what he can do, and obviously Odell Beckham Jr., what kind of pressure do you feel as a defense to sort of live up to your end of the bargain?
Well, I think, you know, when you have an offense that can score points, it makes it a lot easier for us. You know, I'm looking at like, hey, I'm going to be fresh, and, you know, three plays, get off, get them the ball. They're going to go on these long drives, have a little Gatorade, hang out for a little bit, and enjoy the show. You know, that's really what I'm looking forward to. But seriously, though, when it boils down to it, you know, you want to go out and you want to be great. You want to be elite. And we want to do that on defense. We have the capability, and I think we're going to do that on defense.
Next question from the audience.
Okay. Hi. I'm Samantha from Lyndhurst, 5 minutes away from the stadium, obviously. This one's for all of you guys. What was it like to first enter the NFL? Like, what were your thoughts and your feelings?
I guess I can start that one off, being that I'm the only guy here that wasn't drafted. I was nervous. I mean, obviously coming in and you're going into the locker room and you're looking around and you see Osium and yours name, you see David Deal, you see Chris Snee, Eli, Justin Tuck. I mean, those are intimidating people that you see on TV each and every day until you get to know them and know how normal these people really are. But I was nervous. I mean, I knew I had to make the team. I had to make an impression on these coaches, on my teammates. I had to catch every ball that came my way. I had to be a receiver that was able to make these plays to prove to them that I can play on Sundays, that I can win a roster spot and play on Sundays. And it wasn't easy, but I went out there and I did my best. And you know, every week, every day, I just wanted to make a play that the coaches would stick out in the coach's mind and say, "Wow, he's making plays, or he can do this, or he can do that." I wanted to be someone that can do many things. So it was pretty nervous each and every day, even up until I got that call, or didn't get that call per se, to say that I wasn't on the team anymore. So that's pretty much it.
I think for me, it's different when you have the opportunity and you're fortunate enough to get drafted high in the draft. You know you're going to make the team. So I think the pressure is very different. I wouldn't want to be in that situation. And hats off to Vic for doing something that's unbelievable. I mean, that's a real accomplishment to be who he is, undrafted. That's a testament to his work, who he is. But there is a lot of pressure when you go high in the draft to be great. You're like, you know, who's the first round pick? Like, is he going to be a starter? Is he going to be a great player? So you come in, and people are looking at you like, you know, what's going on? And I remember it was a guy named Chris Jenkins. He was a defensive tackle at the time for Carolina. Great player. And he decided that he wanted to mess with me. He was like, comes walking up. He looks at me. He's like, you are a first-round pick. And I'm like, yeah. He goes, you play linebacker? I'm like, yeah. And he goes, you're too little to play linebacker. You know, so he's already, you know, he's already on me. So just the chance to live up to the hype of being a first round pick is nerve wracking. But for me, I remember I just found a guy who was doing it right. Who was the guy that had the coach's ear? And for me, it was Dan Morgan. Like, you know, whatever he did, however he wore his pants or whatever it was, I was like, I want to be like Dan. So I was fortunate. I had a guy that was a mentor and that was helping me out, and I just kind of just followed the path.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I was obviously very grateful to be drafted, and kind of my dream of going to play football. But my whole inspiration was trying to really, you know, prove that the Giants made the right decision in drafting me and trading to do it, so I could earn my job, earn the respect of my teammates and coaches, and win that starting job and try to win games.
All right, we've got time for about 4 more questions, so we'll take 2 from each side. We'll start here at our left.
Hi, I'm Elijah, and I'm a big video gamer, and I play Madden a lot. And this one's for all of you. Do you think that Odell is going to get cursed since he's on the Madden 16 cover?
Wasn't that broken already?
Or do you think...
Right? Yeah, I can answer that one since I'm the only one in the receiver room. No, Odell Beckham will not be cursed by the Madden cover. Very good question, man.
Question here.
Good evening. My name is David from Paramus, New Jersey. I think if each of you three play well this season, we're definitely poised for a Super Bowl run this year, first of all. My question is for either one of you, but it's about Eli. Eli, with you being one of the most underrated sports figures I've seen in a long time, part of it, I think, is because the fans don't see you fired up when you are fired up. So I was wondering, is there a story you can tell about, you know, being very hot about some issue, or maybe Cruz or John, you've seen him hot about something that you can share?
Ordeal.
if you're thinking about it, I'll go first.
Yeah, deal, I don't think
number one, to defend myself still from earlier, because it still hurts that he took the shot at me. Who is the one player in the NFL still to this day that DeMarcus Ware says he hated to play the most? David Deal. But also, you know, Eli didn't have to say anything. It's the look.
It's the look.
It's the look. I'm not mad, I'm disappointed look that we've all heard before and seen.
It's like a proud parent. Thing.
I think that's what he does the most, because we all put in as much time, and when it comes to things on the field, if there's something that you don't understand or you don't get, you know, mistakes are going to happen. But when it comes to doing the wrong things and having mental errors, if you ask him a question, he will take as much time as it takes for you to get it right. So I think that's the biggest thing. When you have mental errors and you're dependent on, and like I stated earlier, football's all about accountability, that's the toughest thing when you get the look.
Victor, would you agree?
100%.
So don't get the look. All right, next question.
Hi, guys. My name is Greg Doyle. This is for all of you, really, but Victor and John, just wanted to wish you a healthy season. Let's get number 5 this year. Dave and Eli, my son was born 11 days ago. I'm honored to raise him a Giants fan.
All right.
Besides him being born and me getting married, Eli, I'm your age. I was 5 and 86. I was 9 and 90. Super Bowl 42 was probably the third best day of my life.
Don't tell your wife that.
After I got married, I said. So, Eli, I know when we went to Green Bay, they pulled Seinfeld because you were a huge fan, as am I. And my question is, what's your favorite episode?
Me and Deal have this.
Seinfeld,
we have this conversation a lot. There's so many. I
think mine was, I think they just played it last week, the Merv Griffin show. I love that Kramer episode. You go, girl.
I like, you know, I kind of like the when it kind of create a phrase, like the close talker. He's a close talker. And just like, you know, man hands or, yeah. You know, just all those. There's too many. I could watch it all day. Some good stuff.
Victor?
My favorite one is when Costanza was a hand model. Remember that one? Hysterical.
Nice pinkish hue.
Hysterical.
John L. Seinfeld?
Not a huge fan. Not a huge fan.
Thanks, guys.
Next question.
Hello, Vince from Toms River, New Jersey. Right. Victor, Father Murphy sends his regards.
Oh, tell Father Murphy I said hello. Father Murphy was my high school scriptures teacher, by the way. I went to Catholic school.
He was my religion teacher at Morris Catholic. Question for Eli. What can you tell us about the conversation your dad had with you that led you away from the Chargers and to the Giants?
You know, it really wasn't a conversation with my dad. My dad, you know, kind of took some of the heat for that. But really my dad, you know, this was a conversation I had with my agent and having met with the Chargers and doing everything. We just we felt it was the best interest for me and a decision we were going to make and stick to. My dad was just was trying to help me out and kind of answered some of the questions to the media that week just to try to take some of the pressure off me and keep me out of the limelight. And so, you know, people kind of blamed him or saying he was getting too involved. I mean, I told my dad, you know, we were going to do this and he stood by me and knew I was going to take heat and everything. But he said, I'll be there for you and I'll help you kind of get through this time. And so, he was just really there to support me. And that's really all I could ask for at that time.
I think we're all thankful for that decision, aren't we?
All right, last question over here.
Hi, I'm Connor Lillis, and this one's for Eli. How do you build trust in your receivers?
Well, just trust just comes from, you know, practice. Just, you know, each day going out there, throwing routes. And, you know, they trust, they got to have faith in me that I'm not going to throw them into big hits. I'm not going to lead them into different things. And I'm going to get them open. And if they're my first read, I'm going to go to them and I'm going to trust them. If they drop a pass, hey, I'm coming right back to you and I'm going to get you the ball. If you're not running the right route, if you're not, you know, fighting for things, then that's when I get disappointed and maybe give you the look and we'll have a little chat. But, If you're competing and you're gonna make plays and I'm gonna trust you.
Good stuff. Hold on one second. David, come on, just get him over here. Hey, nice. Not bad for like the second week of June, huh?
Yeah, not bad.
Guys. We really appreciate you taking the time here and spending time with the season ticket holders. And how about a round of applause for
we appreciate
Eli
you guys.
Manning, Victor Cruz, John Beeson.
Thank you.
Now, we had this young man, he was like the first person up earlier.
What's up, man?
And he asked John Mara if you were going to be back this year. So we said, well, Victor's going to be here. And then he got online too late. Go ahead, ask him now.
This is for Victor. Do you think the Giants are prepared to win the Super Bowl?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Way to go. We got it in. Hey, on your way out.
Thank you.
On your way out, there's some hats. And listen, a round of applause for New York Presbyterian Hospital who brought you this event this evening. We look forward to doing more. And let's go, Giants. We'll see you this fall.